That is not a cotton picker. I think most of you will recognize that. But a lot of the things that we're doing with the software and all that relates to grain will transfer right over to cotton. But farm record keeping, why is it important? Do you know which crop is your most profitable crop? Do you know which farm is your most profitable farm? Do you know which farm is your least profitable farm? Do you know which field is your most profitable farm? Do you know which field consistently loses you money? Questions like that are the reason that farm record keeping is important. Let me start off, and I've already gotten in trouble over this slide, the we in Glen Acres. My wife's in the back of the room, and she wants to know why her picture isn't up there. She does drive the grain cart for us during harvest, so looks like I'm going to be out of supper tonight. But the gentleman there on the front left is my younger brother. He's the good-looking one of the bunch. I'm in the back, a little older, a little wiser maybe. And then the gentleman to the right is my father. Dad's retired now. That means he comes to work a little later than the rest of us, but he still comes in to make sure we do everything right. But that's our operation. There's no hired labor involved or anything that away. To some extent, that gives us a little bit of advantage because we know how important the record-keeping part is. We don't have to worry about convincing of employees that part of it. What are farm records? Farm records are simply data. What kind of data or what do you keep with farm records? You keep records of what you do, when you do it, and where you did it. You collect the data. Hopefully you analyze the data. And by all means, I hope you can use the data. Because if you don't have some use for it, if you don't have something to come up out of it, it's just wasted time. Hopefully you can use that data to make yourself, your operation more profitable. Gathering data. We used to do it with pen and paper. A lot of folks still do it with pen and paper. There's nothing wrong with pen and paper. It just takes a little more time, it's a little more involved. A few years ago, the little PDAs came along. You can load spreadsheets on those things. We're seeing more and more software every day that becomes available, pre-programmed for collecting farm records and all on it. You take those to the house, sync it to a computer, or pull a memory card out of them, dock it, and you transfer that data right over to your desktop computer, right into your desktop software. But a few years ago, there was a big invention that suddenly started being used in agriculture, GPS. GPS suddenly allowed us a whole lot more options than what we used to have. Remember, I said one of the things on farm record keeping was where you did something. GPS allows us to record where we did something. Now we've got monitors coming out left and right that can be hooked to GPS. We've got yield monitors. We've got task monitors. We can record those operations. We can show exactly what was used. We can show by GPS records where we put it down. We can use this for compliance records, etc. But there's a whole lot more uses than that for it. Of course, as I said, on record keeping, you can have manual computer entries. You sit down at a keyboard, type in what you did, where you did it, the times, the products used. I hate keyboards. I hate sitting in front of a computer screen typing on a keyboard. The last thing I want to do is type on a keyboard. I want to automate everything I can so that when I step out of the tractor, out of the combine cab, cotton picker if you're a cotton grower, I want to pull that memory card out, I want to stick it in the desktop, and I want it to jump right into that software, and I don't want to have to sit there transferring data around. We, as I said earlier, we've got PDA software that can be used in the field. This is pocket crops from MapShots. It interfaces straight into the Easy Switch program, but you can actually make the entries. It's, again, a manual entry in this software, but you can do it right in the field as you do it. If you're not running the automated logs, automated monitors and all, this is a very good option. I use it in quite a few operations where I'm not necessarily trying to log the operation. But GPS was the big thing. When it first came out, we got light bars. Wow, those things would tell us where to drive. Thought we were in hog heaven. A few years later, light bars got a little more fancy. They started making maps that actually do product control out of the same monitor. Then AutoSteer came along. Now it'll even drive the tractor for us. We don't have to steer anymore. The early AutoSteer interfaces were pretty much bare bones. A few buttons on a screen, no mapping to it. But they're really getting fancy today. We've got what they call multi-user interfaces or multi-function interfaces. That happens to be the Trimble Field Manager, which is the Ag Leader Insight with a different name on it. But that thing will steer the tractor. It will log the coverage. It will control applications, directly interface into spray controllers, rate controllers, flow meters. We'll do point row shutoffs on planters. But it's automating the record-keeping process also. So let's go to the field. Let's see what it'll do. This is corn planting. I think this was probably done probably 2002. First thing you do when you plant a crop, you got to get out on the ground, you got to pray over it. It's not going to grow if you don't say some prayer. And you also notice with AutoSteer, those rows are pretty doggone straight. Straighter than what I do when I'm trying to drive it anyway. But in that tractor, we've got one of the little PDAs, IPAC in my case. I'm running a little piece of software at this point in time called Farm SiteMate. It's from FarmWorks. Load a field boundary in that software. We've got templates set up before we even go to the field, telling what we're going to do. Some of the values are already even preloaded, where I know what my fertilizer rate's going to be, my insecticide rate, my seed rate's going to be. They're already set up. I don't have to enter them in the field when I get there. Some of the data has to be filled in by hand. Notice we got up there, we say seed left and seed right. We're running a 12-row planter in this example, but we're doing what we call a split planter operation. We've got six rows of one corn hybrid on one side of the planter. We've got six rows of its BT isoline on the other side of the planter. We'll come back and harvest later on with a six-row corn head. What we've essentially set up, or what we're doing here, is we're putting in a strip trial. It's going to go all the way across the field. There's not a single flag out there anywhere marking anything. Planting, we don't even pay any attention that we're doing anything. We set up, when we go to the field, which variety went in which side. Actually got a pick list. I don't have to type it in. We just pull down. It's set up in a menu. Select the varieties that we're going to use. Start planting and go across the field. It makes a coverage map as we go. We get through, pop the data card out of that thing, bring it to the desktop, import it. We've got the product set up in the desktop. We've got the prices of the products already set up in it. It calculates, tells us exactly what we used. The 33 G30 variety, 4.3 bags. Fertilizer, we used 1.5 tons. No key punching to enter it or anything that way. It's the old punch of the button. Takes maybe 5 minutes to import maybe 500 or 600 acres worth of data. We got a map of the field that we just finished. But remember I said we were doing a split planter trial. That software can actually take the GPS. It knows that that planter is 25 feet behind where that antenna is at. We told it that one variety was on the left side of the planter, one variety was on the right side of the planter. So it can go in and it can map it. It can say 15 feet to the right of center line is one variety, 15 feet to the left is the other variety. So there's the 33G26 that was in that example. There's the 33G30. It's all mapped. Again, no flags out there in the field. Nothing to show that we did anything special there. It's all automated, computerized data. Fall comes, we go out there to harvest that. Again, running a six-row head on the combine in this example. There's a yield map that came off that field. Remember those planting maps? We can lay them on top of that yield map, and we can pick out the yield points that go with each variety. This happens to be the 33G30. The average yield on it there is 125 bushel to the acre. There's the non-BT isoline, same variety. Yield, if I'm looking right, 121 bushel to the acre on it. So what have we done? We've done a completely automated strip trial that went across the entire field, that we didn't have to set up anything ahead of time. We didn't have to flag. We didn't have to weigh it with a grain cart or anything as we harvested it, weigh wagon. We sat down at the computer 2 or 3 months after harvest, and we see what the results were. We were comparing the BT versus the non-BT in this example. Again, this was, I think, about 2002, hence $2.50 corn. Example would be quite a bit different today at today's corn prices, but the BT variety out-yielded the non-BT by about 4 bushel to the acre. Seed cost difference on that one was a couple of dollars an acre difference. We ended up with a $9 an acre better return on the BT versus the non-BT. Again, really no extra time to do that. Another example, we were just comparing two standard corn varieties in this one, a variety called 4908. Looked like it yielded. Believe it yielded around 140. We were comparing it to an old standby variety that we'd been using. The standby went about 135. Needless to say, that one didn't come back the next year. This is the way you use this technology to make money. You compare what you're doing, you compare options, you do it in real life. You don't have to sit down and look at test plots and booklets and stuff. You can do real world analysis on your own farm with your own data. And it's all because you collected a little bit of automated record keeping. We've been working with variable rate nitrogen on corn for, I guess, going on about 10 years now. When we first started with it, that's what it looked like in the cab of the tractor. About 1998, we had a laptop computer in the tractor to put the application maps on. That was before the day of digital camera, so that was film camera and then scan. That's the reason for the poor quality of the picture. A few years on down the road, the PDAs came along. We can actually do now that what we're controlling with the laptop, we can do the same thing with that little PDA. Today, you can take that Trimble FMD display, or you can take the Ag Leader Insight, the John Deere 2600. You can replace every bit of that that's there with one display. We started out, we thought we wanted the little individual pieces, because it let us pick and choose what we wanted to use. But eventually we got to where the right-hand side of that cab was so full of boxes we couldn't see out the window anymore. So now we're going back the other way. We want everything in one box. We want it as uncluttered. I want enough room in the cab that I can stretch my arms if I have to. But here's the application map that we're going to use to put out that variable rate application. We're using 32%. We've got zones there, looks like running from 23 gallons to the acre up to about 34 gallons per acre. Again, there's a yield map off the field. Look at the little areas down through here. Look at how it corresponds with the yield map. You got another little yellow streak through here. Yellow's lower yielding, red's lowest yielding. That corresponds with this through here. We're using historical yield data to create the application maps. We're taking generally about 3 years worth of data to create these application maps. Well, you look at that and you say, well, you varied the nitrogen. Why shouldn't the yield vary with the rate of nitrogen you put on? Well, we put four fixed rate strips of nitrogen in that field when we were setting the nitrogen out. Again, we recorded it with GPS, but those four strips right there got a fixed rate of 34 gallons all the way across the field. We compared the five strips either side of the variable rate with the fixed rate. The variable rate, average rate on the field was 29 gallons to the acre. The fixed rate, if we'd gone that fixed rate across the whole field, would have been 34, so we used 5 gallons per acre less nitrogen. Total on the field, where with a fixed rate, we would have used 864, we used 733, 131 gallons less nitrogen. Again, this is using 2002 prices, but we saved $84 on that field nitrogen cost. Nitrogen was a whole lot cheaper in 2002 than it is today. Twice, maybe a little more than twice. Variable rate nitrogen on the entire corn crop that year, we cut 2,500 gallons of nitrogen off our usage that year. Again, using 2002 prices, $1,500. I think I figured on the way up here it would probably be about $4,000 today. That's money that goes right back into my pocket. That's money that'll buy the kids Christmas presents. 12% savings in nitrogen on the entire corn crop that year. That's money we can take to the bank. We're getting the same yields by varying the nitrogen that we were with fixed rate. We're seeing no statistical difference in it. The software lets us see that. Soybean variety map was logged with the grain drill as we were planting soybeans. We've got two varieties in that field. No strip trial or anything that away. There's the yield map that came off of that field. We lay that planting map over the yield map, and we've got yield by variety. 43 bushel per acre roughly up here on this one, 47 down there. Guess which variety came back the next year? 4 bushel per acre at $12 bushel beans today, that's $50 an acre. Soil type map. We can overlay that soil type map over a yield map. This happened to be the same soybean map there. But now we've got yield by soil type. But you say, what good does that do me? I can't control the soil types that are out there in the field. Well, new farm comes up for rent. Hey, let's go run and grab the soil type map for that farm. Let's look at the soil types. Let's go look at what we've historically done on those different soil types. Gives us a little bit more to go on maybe what we can bid for rent. And boy, rent bids are going crazy these days. But now you got a little bit that you can base some of those yields or those rent proposals on. Dry fertilizer, phosphorus, P and K. That fertilizer applicator is about 30 years old now. Originally, it was a PTO-driven applicator. We pulled the mechanical gearbox off the bed chain, put a hydraulic drive on it with a sensor, and now we got a variable rate applicator. We can variable rate our own P and K. We take a wheat yield map. We followed that wheat with double crop soybeans. We created an application map for that field based on crop removal rates. I consider it too expensive to make two trips across the field, so my best fit blend was an 0-24-27 ratio. So we're going out and we're varying that rate based on the yield that came off of that field. I happen to be in a crop zone or watershed that qualifies for CSP program. By doing the variable rate P and K with the variable rate nitrogen, I have a nutrient management plan. That nutrient management plan qualified me for Tier 3 level payments on that CSP program. That was some payments that weren't anything to sneeze at. It was very well worth the effort to go to it. But again, part of it is because I have the records and the data to walk in and show them at the NRCS office exactly what I'm doing and what I have done and that I have met the compliance on it. Record keeping. This is where it really comes into play, though. Business, because we've kept these logs, every application we make, everything we do goes into the desktop, the prices of the products are in there, we can trace all of our costs right back to the field. We can go in, we can allocate our overhead cost in this lower section to the field. This happens to be on a business level. We can do the same type of report on a farm level. This farm happens to be a share rent basis. This is the farm business part of the report. Notice production on that was 6,000 bushel. Landlord got 20% of the production, so here's the business's 80%, along with my expenses. There's what I made profit-wise after the landlord got his share, but before any overhead was applied. I can do the same thing right down to a field level. This happens to be a field that I own. Wheat in that crop year, $3.72 a bushel. I made $1.94 a bushel after overhead was applied profit. This is where it really gets nice. You can do the same thing to the landlord. I know a lot of things, more and more we're moving towards cash rent, but there's still quite a few share rents out there. This particular landlord gets a straight 20% of the crop. I pay 100% of the cost, but it's still set up as a share type rent. I've got other landlords where they're paying percentages of the crop. They would see their cost right here. I can give them a piece of paper just like this along with their rent check. And boy, it makes them happy when they see something like that. I can hand them a yield map with this that came off the field. Here's your yield map. If they want to see those fertilizer application maps where we applied that fertilizer, I can hand that to them. You can actually print a landlord his own little crop production record book, notebook at the end of the year. They like to see those things. It's impressive to them when they give them to you. They're likely to come back and say, hey, I like what you're doing. You want to work my ground again next year? How many folks like to go to the FSA office and certify? I didn't see any hands go up. This is the little report for the FSA. Notice it's got track number on it there, FSA field number. There's the acres, planting dates. I walk in, I throw that on the counter. I bring a map in with it that shows the crops, the fields, where they're at. They're still using black and white maps. I got color maps now loaded in the software with it. Well, they still pull their map out. They walk over to the copying machine. They make a copy of it. Then they take my map and they staple it behind it. I don't know why they think they have to have their map, but they do. Then they take that rule of report and they sit down there and they key it in. Used to be when I went in, they'd hand me that map and they'd give me a highlighter and they'd say, outline your fields. Used to take 2 or 3 hours sitting in there outlining fields and getting all that data in. Generally, I'm in and out in 30 minutes now if there's no line waiting. If I call ahead and make an appointment, they sit down, key it in, I sign it, and that's that. Got the same thing for the crop insurance agent. Got our own little report for him with his with insurance written across the top of it. Got county totals on it. Planning dates there. I can even print this off in a PDF file, and I email that PDF file to the crop insurance agent, and all I do is walk in his office and sign the paperwork. I don't even sit there while he puts it on the forms. I wish FSA would take them by email, but my office won't do it yet. In fact, crop insurance I've just changed over to. The agent's a couple hundred miles away from me, and we're doing just about everything electronically now, simply because these reports, they're already out there, they're digitized, send them out in a PDF format, and anybody can open a PDF. I put this report in to show the database that Easy Suites works on top of is actually a Microsoft Access database. At the time that I was doing this report, they didn't have a report like this in the report generator. I was able to open the database up in Access and create my own report out of it, just using the little wizards that come with Access. This is crane that I had contracted. Got the months that it's due, contract numbers, how much is due at each place, the price of each contract. Again, this was a 2002 report. But it's all right there. If I want to pull up how many bushel I got to deliver to, this was Alabama Farmers Co-op in January, a few pushes of the button, I got it there. It's all about being organized. And if you collect the records, if you keep it organized, the power's there. It gives you management tools that you did not have before. And management is the name of the game today. The guy that's going to be in business is the guy that's going to run his farm like a business, that has the information to make business decisions based upon. That's what we like to do. We like to operate the equipment. I don't want to sit there entering data. I don't want to sit there on that PDA typing in data. We want everything as automated as we can. Again, as I said earlier, I don't do any cotton on my farm. My opinion, there's easier ways to go broke. But that's just my opinion. But we harvest. We've got yield monitor in the combine. We take the card right out of that yield monitor, bring it in, plug it in. Our grain goes straight into inventory. We tell it where we were hauling that day or what bins it was going into. Goes right into our inventory. Keep up the landlord's grain is charged to him right at that point. If I get to the end of the season, I find out my yield monitor was off by 2%. We've got a routine in here that we can go back and recalibrate every bit of that data, adjust it 2% up and down, whatever's needed. We do that after the fact, after we've got scale tickets on everything. Just amazing the flexibility that it gives you. As I say, this is what we like to do. We want to run equipment. We want to go to the field. We want to get the job done. Not having hired labor, that's my brother in the seat of the combine. We don't have time to be sitting there writing down, taking records, running scale tickets. I'm going to end with a little shameless plug. This is an internet site that I help administer, look after. It's nothing but agricultural forums. Started out as mainly Midwest grain producers, but there's getting to be quite a few cotton producers on it now. We've got marketing boards, we've got precision farming board, we've got crop production board, we've got machinery board. It's a good place to get out online, talk with farmers from all around the country. You can actually find out that that little problem you've been having on your John Deere planter that the dealer told you, well, nobody else is having this. We've never seen it before. Actually, every other John Deere planter operator in the country is having the same problem. Little things like that come invaluable to know every now and then. My handle when I'm on there, I'm DG North Alabama. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Ken and them. I think Tim's going to talk about maybe the cotton interface a little more.